Today, a God morning to you. Today, we are going to begin to replay a four-part series on the truth of God's Word that can be seen in the world today because God's people need to hear it that it might be seen. Back to the God School. We're about to do a Bible study. I have been watching this trouble going on in Israel. I have seen a few television preachers talking about Israel, taking verses of scripture out of context because they don't understand who Israel is, and they don't get the gestalt, that is, the full picture of God's revelation of His faithfulness. Now, I'm going to start out in the New Testament. Let's go to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed. Listen, he's not. A little bit of rhetoric there. That's how serious Paul was about this. A curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. How many of you, and I doubt there are very many, I know I have a small congregation, and I know shortwave is not that expansive, but we're going to continue on. How many of you have ever done a study of the promises of God to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel? How many of you have done a serious study? I'm tired of the ignorance of the body of Christ as to God's faithfulness. We're going to start out in the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book of the beginnings. This is where God is beginning to reveal His faithfulness. His faithfulness is revealed earlier than where we're going to start because today and in the coming weeks, we are going to focus on Israel, whom Paul calls Israelites. Paul knows the difference because in the 3rd chapter, he mentions the Jews. Now in the 9th chapter, he's talking about Israel. So open open your Bibles, and I'm going to give you a moment. Get your pen. I want you to write these down as we go through the promises of God to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Wherein God, who is in control, shows off his faithfulness to his word. I want you to open your Bibles, excuse me, to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Mark verse number 2 as put the number 1 right next to it. But let's read the first verse. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, this is not Abraham, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Listen to this promise. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, concentrate here. It says, I will make of thee a great nation. Go to Genesis fifteenth verse. For it says, for all the land which thou seest, and God had told him to walk the land, the north, the south, the east, and the west, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make, listen, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed also, shall thy seed also be numbered. I could ask a question here. I hope some questions are popping up in your mind. Now, listen. God is beginning to show off his faithfulness, not spiritually, but in the flesh, to Abraham and his seed, whom he has chosen. Go now to the 17th chapter of Genesis. And you should mark in your Bible verse 15 of Genesis 13, number 2, and verse 16, number 3. Let's go find 4. Seventeenth chapter. And when Abraham was 99, the Lord appeared unto Abram. Excuse me, I said Abraham. Let's do it again because it's important. And when Abram was 90 years old at Nine. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. And the Hebrew is El Shaddai, folks. Walk before me and be thou perfect or sincere or be a completed product. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, God speaking, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of a great multitude of nations. And neither shall thy name, that's number 4, verse 17, verse 4 of chapter 17. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Promise 5, verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Now, remember something. Abraham now is 99 years old. Wow. Different genes back in those days, but 99 years old. Paul refers to Abraham in, I think, the 4th chapter of Romans, where he says, and his body being as good as dead, meaning didn't think he'd ever reproduce. God says he's going to make a multitude of nations and of kings come out of thee. That is a simultaneous happening. It's not, generation to generation to generation to generation. It is the breadth. It is a simultaneous happening that nations at the same time, that kings at the same time will come out of thee. He goes on. In the 16th verse, let's go to the 15th verse of the same chapter 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. 16th verse, write 4a and 5a next to this verse, and I will bless her, give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. You know, I'm just laying some groundwork here, folks. Not asking any questions yet. Go to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. In the 17th verse, it says that let's go to the 16th verse And I'll give you the number of the promise in just a moment. Let's go to the 15th verse. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, here Mark number 6, verse 17 of Genesis 22, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and of the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Listen to this. Thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. God's talking about a heap big group of people coming out of Abraham. This current news on all this trouble in the land of Israel, the population has come out several times, and it's about 8 million. Don't think that is the seed of Abraham, which God is talking about. Because obviously, the occupants of the land of Israel can be counted. You can't count the stars, and you can't count the sand on the seashore. Sorry, I was having to do something here. Now, what does this possess the gate of his enemies? What is that promise? It's the gates of land are the entrances of land where enemies might enter. I want you to get a picture of that. It says of Abraham's seed that they shall possess the entrance of the gates of their enemies. Now, I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of, or to 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Excuse me. So, David is ruling on a throne over his people Israel. God sends Nathan the prophet to him. And in the 8th verse, it says, Nathan speaking, Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto David, my servant, unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou. darkest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great that are in the earth. Verse 10. Right. Promise number 8. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. Now, you know, people can read that and just, you know, I read through the Bible in 62, 72, 82, 92, and 2002. But did you ever hear the word of God? It says, moreover, now David is in a planted place. And it says, moreover, God speaking, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Right, number 9, next to the 11th verse. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee
Fuck
that
you.
He will make thee,
that's stupid,
King James says, an house. They offer, thankfully, an alternative translation, will make thee a dynasty. Right, number 10, to the next to the 12th verse. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. David's seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. That's 11. And if he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee, promise 12, and thine house, David's house, and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. Now, Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and so shall he do, and as he has spoken, so shall it be. So, looking at these verses, looking at these promises of God made unto the fathers, I'm going to ask a question. Where is this dynasty that God said of David and of his seed would be established forever, and his throne established forever? I'm telling you, folks, if you know anything about the history of the line of David and its kingship, you know that that line, in terms of history of Scripture, was cut off 500 years before Christ. Now I'm just turning pages. Hang in here with me. Here's interesting promise. Go to Psalm 89. And the 24th verse. Says, but my faithfulness, God speaking, and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn power be exalted. Here's the promise 13. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. This word, the sea, means west. The sea was to the west of the land of Israel. Twenty-ninth verse says, his seed, speaking of David, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Promise 15 is between 33 and verse 37. It says, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Or the alternative is to lie. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon. And as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah, that word means think of that. So we have taken just a little walk through God's word, looking at promises that God made to Abraham and to his seed and to David and to his seed. And he says that it shall be forever, and that David will not want of a man ruling over his children, Israel. And I ask you, is God faithful? Now, we're coming to the end of the shortwave broadcast. You can hear the rest of the broadcast by going to thegodschool.com. If you want to get ahead, go to the second greatest story ever told, Goodbye on Shortwave. But we are looking at the promises that God has made to his people, Israel. That is, a people who belong to him. Of whom he said he chose for himself. That he might make his name great. And I would that God gives you eyes to see that there's more to it than that land and people today called Israel. They are of the line of Judah. That's why they're called Jews. And in the weeks to come, we will go through multiplied promises that wherein we shall be able to identify the people and places they inhabit, the people whom God called Israel. Here's a little hint. Those, excuse me, those of you who know your Bible history, that the kingdom of Israel split after the death of Solomon and became known, one in the southern kingdom, the house of Judah, and two in the northern kingdom, the house of Israel. And if you don't have this understanding of God's people, both the southern and the northern kingdoms, both Judah and Israel, you'll never understand God's faithfulness. You'll miss the mark when one attempts to teach on prophecy, that is, those things that are still to come. That is, those things that are still to come that are true. And with that, we're going to end today's session. So that's the God School for today.